This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Women without men, the unashamed, warped, sinful desires, the evil friendship, city of women, the odd ones, the damned one, are just a few of the lesbian pulp novels represented in the new book Strange Sisters. It's a collection of cover art from lesbian pulps of the 50s and 60s. You can't accuse these lurid covers showing scantily clad buxom women of being politically correct. My guest is the editor of Strange Sisters, Jay Zimmet. She's a book designer who collects lesbian pulps. She says the success of the genre was in part due to the fact that it was marketed to arouse men. But these were also just about the only books with lesbian content available to gay women at the time. I asked Jay Zimmet to describe some of the plot conventions of the genre in the 50s and 60s.
The books really kind of had a lot of stereotypes that they conveyed. And one was that a woman alone, like a woman in prison, would surely be corrupted. You know, if you were in a sorority house, there's always some evil lesbian waiting to corrupt the little young thing. And that there were always these predatory lesbians waiting to corrupt little things, you know, the new ones. There was also a lot of feeling abnormal and sort of trying out lesbianism, and then, of course, being horrified and running back to the man. Almost every single book ends in a negative of some sort. Either the woman on the far end either kills herself or is committed to an insane asylum, and I don't know which is less evil, or she gets married to the guy that she abandoned in the first place. So it always had to be some kind of negative issue.
Your new book, Strange Sisters, includes lots of covers from the lesbian pulps. I'm going to ask you to describe a couple of your favorite covers.
One of my favorite titles happens to be Satan Was a Lesbian. And the art is this Satan in the background, this devil in a beard, a Van Dyke and mustache and horns, and he's red. In the foreground, there is a woman dressed in leather with a whip overhand, about to whip the poor little cowering female slave, and there's a man in the background ready to punch her and to defend the poor little cowering female. So it gives into a lot of different little stereotypes there. One, that the evil lesbian is trying to corrupt the good girl, and that she is a devil. They're equating lesbianism with, you know, all kinds of like negative things, and that there's a man besides the woman who will be ready to defend her, you know, from this evil lesbian.
It's really interesting. You contrast a couple of covers for the same book, you know, the original cover and then the reprint years later.
Right.
They're interesting contrasts. Like, there's one book called House of Fury, a slashing story of girls behind bars. The 1941 cover has a picture of a young woman praying, whereas the 1959 paperback has a picture of a woman with a dress that has a V down the middle of her chest, revealing plenty of cleavage. Her arms are over her head, wrapped around the prison bars in a slightly bondage kind of pose, further accentuating the cleavage. So it's an interesting contrast.
It is. And the one where the woman is behind bars is by one of my favorite cover artists, Robert McGuire. And he always uses the same model over and over again. And this dark-haired model with the short hair has appeared on, I don't know, hundreds of covers that I have, both lesbiana, other kinds of sleaze. He worked a lot for Berkeley and Gold Medal and all sorts of other houses. And this woman in the dark hair happens to be his wife, and he used his wife over and over and over again for models. It's kind of funny. And sometimes she's a blonde, sometimes she's a brunette, mostly a brunette.
On the opposite side, there are books that pass themselves off, whether they are or not, as scientific studies, like We Too Must Love, an honest book, a necessary book to light up the dark places of our society, by Dr. Richard S. Hoffman, world-famous author, published in 1958. That's what the cover says.
It is a pseudonym, yes. The reason for these sort of psychosexual books that I call, they're, if they were science, you can have almost anything in them. They would not be banned. They would not be seen as obscene, or they would not be subject to any kind of censorship. So that The Lesbian in Our Society by W.D. Sprague, Ph.D. Well, this is not a Ph.D. who wrote this, but it's a problem that must be faced. And by couching it in this negative light, it was able to pass through. And then some of the case histories are, you know, quite tawdry and quite openly explained.
Do you know how these books sold?
These books sold very well, actually. Spring Fire was a bestseller. It reportedly outsold God's Little Acre that was published in the same year. And the reason why they sold is because they appealed to men. And men bought them, and that really helped the sales. But the contribution that it made is that they did find a lesbian audience, and that's the important part, and that's the part that I like to point out.
One of the biggest publishers of lesbian pulps was Gold Medal, which was an imprint of Fawcett Books.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about about that company, why they did so many lesbian pulps, and who the editor there was, who handled these books.
Gold Medal was definitely one of the biggest publishers of lesbian books, and Dick Carroll was the editor there. And they had published Women's Barracks, which was a reprint of a hardcover, which was translated from the French. Well, because that became a bestseller, they decided to do some more. And one of the people who worked there, a secretary, was Mary Jane Meeker. And I believe Dick Carroll approached her, and they were talking about school. And he asked if there was any kind of lesbianism in school. And she said, oh, of course there was. And so he wanted her to write a novel about that. And she did. And that was published as Spring Fire. And that was the book that really started this trend. And one of Mary Jane Meeker's fans was Anne Bannon, who was living in Philadelphia, and she wrote a manuscript that dealt with some lesbianism, and she sent it in to Mary Jane Meeker, and that eventually got published as Odd Girl Out, and then that started Anne Bannon's career as a writer, and she's written five novels, I believe.
Now, Dick Carroll, the editor at Gold Medal, who you mentioned, also mm-hmm. edited two really well-known writers of pulp novels, Jim Thompson and David mm-hmm. Goodis.
Right. They did a lot of really famous people who started out as, you know, as these paperback original writers who got paid maybe, you know, $2,000 to write the book, got no royalties. And a lot of quite famous artists, writers today got their start doing these pulp fictions.
Now, some of the lesbian pulps were written by people who are now famous, but mm-hmm. the pulps were written under pen names. Mm-hmm. Any famous writers that you want to tip us off to?
Yes, there were several famous authors. Marion Zimmer Bradley wrote several under the pseudonym of Miriam Gardner. Lawrence Block, as you know, wrote many of them. And he wrote under, I don't know, about five different pseudonyms. Sheldon Lord, Andrew Shaw, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Tons of pseudonyms. Patricia Highsmith wrote one of the famous ones. It's called The Price of Salt. It is not a paperback original. It was originally a hardcover, and so I put that in my cliterature section. And that probably is the first lesbian novel written that has a happy ending in it, that has a true happy ending. And that was, it's Patricia Highsmith, and she wrote that as Claire Morgan. And that is really readable today. It's more literary, and it just really also speaks to that time, but it's a little bit earlier. It was written in the 30s.
And Highsmith is probably best known for writing the novel Strangers on a Train and The Talented right. Mr. Ripley, which is
now coming
now a
out.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you read these lesbian pulp novels now or look at the covers, do you recoil in their political incorrectness, or do you just really, you know, kind of enjoy the fun of them?
Oh, I enjoy the fun of them. Political correctness is all very well and good, but sometimes it pigeonholes you and kind of is a little too constraining. And I think these were so innocent. They were done in a more innocent time, and they weren't meant to be, I don't know, degrading of women or anything like that. They were meant to be fun and a little saucy and, you know, a little bit salacious, wink, wink, here we are, you know. It's all very fun, I think.
You think it was a more innocent time or just a more repressed time?
Well, more repressed, but innocent in its outward views of sexuality, I would think.
Okay, well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jay Zimmett's new book is Strange Sisters, The Art of Lesbian Pulp Fiction, 1949 to 69. This is Fresh Air.